Which one?
Let's give the people what they want, Diana. You know what clickbait is?
No, what is it? Which one are we doing?
We'll do the one we mentioned last episode. We'll start on that one, the 30 something something something. Oh. La 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 la. But you know what clickbait is?
No, what is it?
For real? Clickbait is when there's like an article and it's like, it's, you know, the title is something like attractive, mm-hmm. and it gets everybody to click on it just for to get views. And then when you're reading it, you're like,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah, the title had nothing to do with it. It's just clickbait. So people start clicking, you know? Wow. It's like, the government is paying off all student loans. And then everybody's clicking. And then you're reading it and it's like,
where are the student loans?
Yeah, they're not paying everything. So I was on LinkedIn and the Architects Journal, their thing was, a struggle, Keanu Reeves studying to become an architect. And then everybody's reading it. Look, 1,520, reactions, mm-hmm. and then like 56 comments and 38 shares, and everybody's liking it. And then I didn't even I'm not gonna waste my time and click on it. But I did eventually, because I was going through the comments, mm-hmm. and it said, title is deliberately misleading, which is, you know, it's clickbait. Article is by Astrogle after all. Article states that he is playing an architect in his new TV series about the staging of the Chicago World Fair in 1893. So I was like, oh, okay, that's actually pretty interesting. But he's not studying to be an architect. Bruh. Like, he's not going to school and going through studio and actually getting a degree. He's just like studying or learning how to like play as an actor.
Yeah.
Like playing architect as an actor for the TV show.
Wow.
And then look. So this guy said, we're hiring at this architect office, and he's the director of that firm. So he's like, we're hiring. If you fancy a position, Keanu, happy to bring you on as an apprentice initially. Might be worth dipping your toe in the water before leaving Hollywood. And then someone with a master's from another university, this girl said, is this position solely for Keanu, or people like me who have actual degrees will get a chance? I was like,
good for her.
She's
like,
show him who's boss.
Are you getting your shit together, or so just because he's famous?
That's what I'm saying. Wow, I'm like, bro, like,
well, so I'm nothing wrong with that, but like,
well, I'm reading the article and I'm like, man, this is like, I mean, I'll watch the show, but like, come on, you don't say he's studying to become an architect. Like, that's so misleading.
Yeah.
That ain't cool.
Dang.
Anyway, people suck. They're just trying to get. It's all about views these days. It's all about views.
Which state is it reasonable to get land and build a home of your dreams, along with finding a decent job, because New York ain't it?
Oh yeah, New York ain't it. New York ain't it.
Texas is closed. For real?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, don't come here.
What a non-Texas mentality to have. People like you are why I'm done with this country.
Well, leave? Like, why are you still here?
Leave the country?
If you're done, then leave.
That's funny.
That's funny, yeah. People are stupid, but... Anyway, welcome back to another week's episode of Architecture Matters Podcast.
Yep.
How you doing? Hanging in there? Working hard? Drinking coffee?
Yep. This is my second coffee.
Yup.
All right, so...
what do you got for me today?
Nick.
Diane.
Tell me...
tell you what. Best 30 websites for free 3D models?
Yes.
Because I got you.
Oh wow.
Well, we've done
it. We kind of did one.
Whoop.
Like this.
Yeah, we did a previous episode, mm-hmm. and the reason why I actually saved this and I resent it is because someone reached out to us asking like, "Oh, like I didn't catch the name of that one." Mm-hmm. I need whatever it was. Maybe it was like trees for Photoshop.
I mean, the other day I was thinking like, maybe this is not just for students. Like, it can also be for designers, interior designers mm-hmm. are trying to get something else mm-hmm. or something different, mm-hmm. like they can check these websites, you know?
Oh, for sure.
And download them to their...
Well, a lot of the times the company has the component and they don't really like you downloading from other websites.
Yeah, I thought of that, but like, I mean, maybe they're cooler than what they're showing.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a bunch of it's from arc_grap. Mm-hmm. There's a link in their bio, maybe, hopefully it's still there.
I think we're gonna do like 10 out of 30, right?
Yeah, something like that. Start us off. Mm-hmm. Well, and then it has like 22 more resources, so we'll go through this one and kind of give our opinions, because a lot of these I haven't heard of. Definitely haven't heard of.
Never heard of it. So the first one is at Studio Alternativa. Is sure. it right?
I get. So you're just stealing posts from someone else?
What do you mean?
Retention.
Go. Polantis.
Polantis.
Ooh, look. It says like find your IKEA furniture here and quality plants and trees. So if you love IKEA, apparently I guess their components are.
Yeah.
Based off IKEA.
The trees they have here, they're showing is like black cherry, black maple, bird cherry, apple trees, baobab. I don't know what that is.
Beech.
American elder, autumn olive, Algerian fir. You got to do your research because you can't just be putting these in any project.
Yeah, because
it ain't going to survive.
Yeah. Next.
Pretty nice. There's the BIM store. This is where you can search for BIM models and more. In a UK standard.
But this is cool because they have like
it's like materials?
Different pattern. Yeah, like mm-hmm. mainly it looks like exterior, like if you have like a brick pattern, mm-hmm. you know?
Some type of like exterior pedestrian
yeah,
walkway with, yeah. with some pattern.
That's cool. Yeah.
This one's cool. It's called Render People. So all those times that you wish you could find a 3D person.
Oh, shit.
Because it's always 2D. And the 3D ones are like bogus.
Yeah.
So free downloads for render people. They look pretty good.
Yeah. Look, it says 8K high resolution textures.
Okay. It diffuse normal gloss alpha maps.
Includes skin skeleton. Oh, shit. Fancy. Ready to use control rig. Wow.
This third one, I know, BIM Object. It's oh, yeah. literally like the number one site in BIM industry, mm-hmm. and you can literally find any type of BIM object.
This is cool because you can even use it for like if you're, you know, remodeling your mm-hmm. house or your area.
I think
though
these are kind of tricky if you're gonna edit it. I think it's a little tricky, like if you're gonna download this family and then like edit it to like manipulate it to mm-hmm. a different size or whatever you want. But if you're just gonna use like
the
chair or the desk, like yeah, but like doors, like like sometimes they don't really fit.
Yeah,
you kind of have to like start playing with the parameters a little yeah. more.
But doors are actually like pretty.
Oh, they look nice.
Standard.
Yeah.
In a way.
Plus, so, plus, well, on BIM objects, I know for this one, you can download like 3ds mm-hmm. Max files, SketchUp files, CAD files, Revit files. Uh-huh. You can download like because it's BIM, you know. It's more than just Revit.
Yeah. The next one is steel case together.
This one's cool.
Apparently they have their original models here for mm-hmm. free. There's a bunch of chairs.
Yeah, they're like architecturally designed nice yeah. chairs.
So yeah, they're pretty cool.
It'd be interesting to see if there's like, because it's just black and white here, so it'd be like interesting if they have like different materials or what colors these would end up downloading as mm-hmm. or if you can apply that yourself.
Yeah,
like it's just like a white model and then you can make those yeah. adjustments.
I like that some look sketchy, so you know if you're doing like a perspective,
what it could
you
be,
can like yeah. print it and do.
What if these are 2D color? There's a 3D option for CAD. I think most of these are 3D though.
Yeah,
or they could be 2D line work as well. Coalesce, Coalesce. A lot of planning ideas made into 3D models. So, like, conference rooms, mm-hmm. or maybe seating arrangements in front of a TV or around a circular table, mm-hmm. Or like small working areas like collaboration desks and chairs and maybe some greenery or in lights. They kind of have this whole little like layout. I'm assuming you can like kind of download the entire layout and just plug it into your space.
It looks cool.
That would have been nice for... in school we did the library, mm-hmm. In Lubbock, mm-hmm. that like this would have been useful because like you get the whole layout.
Just
plug it into your space.
Yeah, and then you know it has its own, you know, distances, so mm-hmm. you know it probably be more accurate. Mm-hmm. Design connected. These are like lamps, I guess. Pretty modern stuff.
Yeah,
TV stands, mm-hmm. but like modern shit, like different designs, I guess. So if you tend to,
they have nice tables, but mm-hmm. like it's kind of like a grid and instead of a like a glass top.
Yeah, and the tables. Like if you're doing something different, maybe this mm-hmm. could be a good place.
If you're doing remodels, if you're doing interior renders, mm-hmm. and they want to like you know update the interior, these would make it look newer, more modern.
Yeah.
Design connected looks like a good one. I probably wouldn't use this for school because it's too fancy.
Yeah, it's too fancy.
I mean, if you got your side thing going on and you're doing these renders, then definitely. The last one is a good one, 3D warehouse. So a lot of SketchUp, CAD, and PDF files for different furniture, desks, chairs, bureaus, coffee tables, benches, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, I believe 3D Warehouse would even give you like the shop drawing kind of,
uh-huh.
like your IKEA pamphlet of like how it gets put together and all the dimensions for it.
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty interesting. And then there's 22 more 3D resources. So some are Autodesk Online Gallery, Revit City's popular, mm-hmm. BIMsmith, Palantis, we mentioned, BIMarchy Products, Simpson Strong Tie, Free 3D, I know Turbo Squid, I know CG Trader, Steelcase, we mentioned, Vitra, Flying Architecture, I know that one, Technion, SketchUp CG Tips, CAD Blocks, Free, that's a good one,
mm-hmm.
GrabCAD, NASA 3D Models, 3D Sky Models, Archive 3D, Viz People. So pretty, there's a lot of good ones. I like that.
Yeah.
So...
there you go, guys.
You definitely
good resource.
Yeah, you definitely need to get in there and figure out, just start populating your drawings and making it look nicer. And
yeah,
it's too easy.
It's always good.
It's too easy. What do you think about some AI design and some advancement in like work production and efficiency and having AI kind of, you know, taking care of that front end work? What do you think about that? Is that something that you'd be interested in?
So first, to be honest, I don't know what AI means. So is it artificial intelligence?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What did you think? Can artificial intelligence beat human design yet?
So to bring us into this conversation, I have something if it pops up.
Okay.
It's talking about if can't load media. Yeah, it says, is automation in architecture creating mass employment?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is basically like if you're 3D printing houses, like right, there's less construction workers being needed, or if we're doing if modules, right? And, you know, with the cranes are kind of putting these modules of units, like it's a prefab unit and it's just modular and everything's just stacking and repeating. Like that's kind of like on automation. So the question is, what's your opinion on that? And is it creating mass employment? Like, do you think that would create mass employment?
I don't know.
Where things are getting automated. And for example, you go to Walmart and mm-hmm. there's like a billion self-checkouts now,
mm-hmm.
and there's like less workers checking you out,
right,
doing your groceries.
Right.
Well, isn't that creating not mass unemployment, but
there's
less jobs now.
Yeah, there's less affecting. But like, I mean, there's one person that, you know, making sure, in quotes, that, you know, you're doing the self-checkout correctly. And the fact that, like...
Right, ain't nobody watching.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's easy job, right? But, like, I don't know. Like, right now, the first thought that came to my mind by doing this is, like, in architecture, I don't know if it will work because we are the ones that are experiencing it, you know? Rather than this being artificial, like, do they really get the actual feeling of, you know, this creating this room? Is it really, like, gonna, like, is it really true based on human, how true it is? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it starts to miss that personal touch, I think.
Yeah.
When it's being, everything's being dictated by, like, AI or, like, some type of robotic system. So, but that's what some people believe because of this introduction of this new technology. People think that, you know, it's going to start reducing manual labor and it's going to kind of get people out of jobs. And I mean, to some extent, it is true, but, like, at the same time, it's not going to make, like the industry or people's positions go, like, obsolete. Like, it's not going to, like, get rid of the workers altogether. There are certain things that I'll bring up that is like, well, it could probably take away, you know, half the team, but I mean, we can go into that because there's pros and cons, but there are certain things like, so DepthMap X, it's an open source platform that analyzes, that does analysis on spatial elements, such as like sunlight access to perfect a user's experience of a building. So rather than someone running those analysis and running those studies and doing those diagrams, DepthMap does it for you.
But think about it about...
So one person, rather than one person like teaching it and one person doing it, one person just needs to plug it into the program and it'll just, you just import the CAD DWG, the plan, and the program just runs it for you.
That made me think of school. Like, all right, so we're studying to be this. Where is the purpose then? Because you're studying to be an architect and then you jump into that, but then the only thing that you do for an architect now is just plugging something and then he creates all of the floor plans and stuff. So what's the purpose then of studying? Then now they're going to have to change this whole thing of studying. Now they're not going to teach you how to be an architect. They're going to teach you how to work that system.
Well, sure, but you're looking at our perspective. But if you look at it from the CEO perspective and they're trying to get more jobs and they're trying to be efficient because they have deadlines.
But then at the same time, you need to teach people how to work those things because if it falls down, then...
Yeah, there'd be... Oh, that was falling.
Well, like if it doesn't work or if it's... I don't know, if it has a... switch or something.
Yeah.
Then you gotta fix it, right? So someone needs so to know.
And just playing devil's advocate, people would become. You're right. We would be learning and being taught different things.
Yeah.
Not necessarily how to design and draft. We would get probably more code or tech savvy rather than design.
I think.
Or construction.
Yeah.
Because so Canvas is another one. It's a Colorado-based startup. And they have built an AI assisted robot that can construct drywalls with no human assistance. So like at tech, the robotic arm that's like moving and putting things together. Lake Flato just did
in Austin,
the house in Austin that 3D prints, right? So it's like maybe you need one guy on site to watch it, right? And then one technician on site to watch it, but you don't need 20 people anymore. You just need those two.
Yeah, right.
And
but then the floor plans
that can start bringing people out of a job.
Yeah. How do they create the floor plans?
We'll get into it. So so would you consider BIM as an AI system that's getting people out of their jobs?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. Building information modeling, like.
It's a tool.
Right. And there's things they're adding onto BIM, which is what we'll talk about with that floor plan, where it can. Oh, shit. I need to bleep that out.
Okay.
That can suck the fun out of it. Frick.
Yeah.
And it's less design. And it will lose jobs, but I think BIM itself, no. So BIM enables, you know, seamless collaboration between everyone and the stakeholders, and it supports, you know, sustainability because it is faster than CAD and it is faster than drafting. But it's like, there's still a lot of manual work that still needs to get put into, like, you know, it's a tool, like you said, it's not a solution.
Right.
But they're trying to add things to BIM that
can fix the solution.
Right. But I mean, it depends if you enjoy doing the work or if you just want like the progress and money.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That's what I'm saying. Like things that, like, I'm not against technology. I think it's great. But the fact that I don't know if it's like we're using it the wrong way sometimes. Mm-hmm. That like this, like, I don't know if, what am I trying to say? It just, no.
What are you trying to say?
Well, keep going.
I think BIM, it saves us time, money, kind of manual labor. There's still a lot, but it saves all of that. I think the other aspects, 3D printing and robotic arms and something we're about to get into, it does save us time, money, and manual labor, but where's the soul in it?
Oh, that's what I was going to get to. That's what you're trying to say. I'm like, where's the passion?
Where's the passion?
Because then you forget that was, yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're using this technology. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good, but, like, it becomes repetitive, and then it's, like, you don't have to put that much effort to it. So mm-hmm. then where's the passion?
Okay, so there's two good ones continuing off of this one. Read the one that you had.
Okay. Which floor plan do you prefer? Here's a fascinating example from Joyce Simon of evolving floor plans, comparing a human design for an elementary school versus what a generic algorithm can produce given a set of data and parameters.
AKA AI system.
Yeah. The design on the left, okay, so the right, the one we just said, it kind of looks like a human brain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with circles mm-hmm. in it. And then the one on the left is more like squarey.
It's like a capital I.
Pretty much.
Kind of. It's obviously like someone designed it.
And then, yeah, so the design on the left is what we're used to, and the one on the right is where the model is optimizing to minimize traffic flow and material usage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is actually bad for retention because people can't see the two images, so they might not be interested.
Anyway. Maybe we can put this picture on our...
Oh, if someone makes a pose.
On I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. I actually been slacking, but... So
the point with this is that, you know, I think everybody knows Grasshopper, right? Grasshopper for Rhino, you plug in some numbers, you move some sliders around, yeah. And then, you know, like you move a slider from 1 to 100 and there's one window. Now there's all of a sudden 100 windows, and you move some sliders one floor to 10 floors, right?
So, like this picture that I'm looking at, it reminds me of like, you know, a typical, you know, rectangle, square, whatever building. Mm-hmm. Versus a
free form interested abstract.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Which it's cool because, you know, it's different, it's mm-hmm. it's, you know, more suitable for the eye or whatever you want to call it. But
this is interesting because the point is, and I've already read some comments and we'll go through it, but like this first one, right, it's kind of like a capital I, and that top right of the I is bent, right? And you can clearly see the corridors, right? It's a double loaded corridor on both sides throughout the entire project, which means there's like, it's a school, there's a hallway, mm-hmm. and on the left and on the right there's classes, and this is actually a human design elementary school, and you can clearly see that, you know, there's some type of organization, mm-hmm. and these spaces are like equal in square footage within the building versus the AI. It did it where it's more free flowing and there's more connection. Like there's a room that's surrounded by five other rooms, but none of them are like deadlocked. Like the corridors split like branches or roots in a tree, mm-hmm. and it able to get into each space. And I mean, it's interesting because it's, you know, it was designed, you know, to optimize traffic flow. And then certain people, so I was looking at it and I'm like, well, like, where are the windows? Where are this and that? And like, you know, where are the stairs? Like life safety, right? Like, where's the egress and how are we exiting? And I'm looking at the comments and like a lot of these people are mentioning those things, right? And so the first comment's like, funny how the one on the right, which is AI designed, it looks like a brain, kind of appropriate for a school. So this is where like concepts come in. Mm-hmm. Like if you're gonna design a kid's science museum or kid's science elementary school, like I think your concept should derive from that topic, and you shouldn't
make schools looking like jails.
Like what?
Like a jail.
Oh, like jails. Yeah, I thought you said gills. I was like, well, gills would.
Oh,
that
too.
Well, no. Think of it like an aquatic center,
mm-hmm.
Well, I never go to them, so I don't even know what they're called. aquatic.
Yeah.
Like if you did gills, like if it was, and there was like lines that represent, you know, like I mean, you start from there, you dissect it, you diagram it, and it becomes something like it. Yeah. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
See, and someone said like the AI design might be appropriate for like a garden, but not a school, because like you know, you kind of need like furniture and a rectangular footprint and stuff like that. But so someone had asked about like the windows and natural light, and obviously it's not shown in this process. But mm-hmm. the author of this mentioned, look, well, you can input those parameters. You can change the design. For different.
Right now they're just giving you like an example,
sure,
of what it would look like.
But if you go ahead and change the AI's parameters, you'll start to get these different shapes.
Oh, nice.
Some shapes get bigger. You know, maybe it starts growing in one way or another.
But think about this, like we humans, we can create this. I just don't understand why we don't do it.
Well, some can create it because they're creative, but a lot of people, you know,
it's just like it's based off, you go back to
the reason why we don't do it is the same reason why school doesn't let us use Revit. They think Revit's limiting and we're just going to create boxes, right? So people don't do this type of organic design because they have limitations, meaning code, mm-hmm. meaning life safety, safety of people. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but people start with the code, which begins to limit them. They're doing function. They're doing form follows function, not function follows form.
Right.
So when it's form follows function, they input the code, they input the egress, they input their routes.
But think about and then like this.
Their shape starts.
You can create it. Just like make sure you have your clearances. Make sure you have like your.
Well, that's the thing. If it's function follows form, you design an organic, conceptual, crazy thing first, then you input code, then you input clear floor spaces and all your
anything,
dimensions.
Right? Yeah.
And then it starts to shift to something more, you know, reasonable, but the essence hopefully still remains where it's organic and free flowing.
Yeah, I think we just need to try it. I mean, how did Calatrava does it? How does Zaha Hadid does it? How does, what's
his function follows form? They do whatever.
But then if you go back to lazy in a way, like, well, we're just following typical stuff, copy and pasting.
See, but I don't think people want to do AI to create these cool organic new design ideas.
They're gonna use
AI because they're lazy.
Exactly. It should be limited.
And that defeats the purpose.
Yep. They're gonna be like, oh boy, if we just put parameters and we can still create those freaking squares, boring. Yeah.
I bet people will be using AI and it'll still be a box.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like these AI should just have different parameters and not to create boxes.
Yeah, but
it will push that difference, then otherwise it will be the same shit.
Okay, but I've seen something. I'll go into this one. But I've seen one where you have a density study, right? And you just put in, you have 350 units, and then you just put in, say, 500, or you move a slider, and then your density study grows, and then more units start populating, and it's like you're not designing. You're just
trying to figure it out.
Well, yeah, but do you,
someone else is doing your job on your brain.
But think about it. Do you want to be there for 3 weeks doing density studies, or do you want to do the construction documents?
Both. But well, using that.
You have 4 weeks. You have a deadline. You have a client. You have customers that you're trying to keep happy, and they have loans or whatever. And it's like,
well, that's what you get more people. That's never going
to
happen.
But your company doesn't have the money to pay all those people.
Then why are they getting jobs?
Why are they getting jobs? Because the client wants them.
Nah.
Because
then they're not a good firm.
Because they're efficient and they get the job done. Okay, because look, would you rather spend a day on, you know, 50 density studies or one density study a month? You're going to get less jobs that way.
Right.
So,
but that's if
playing devil's advocate. The point is, if you can use the AI to optimize
quickly optimize
and get the most efficiency,
but not take advantage.
Yeah, not take advantage, but I mean,
that's what I'm trying to say.
It's interesting.
Like, I'm sure the designers that do the density studies first would love to have that, right? It would be more accurate, but they still need to search for code. Because if they're like, oh, well, if I expand it now, I get more of these units. Or like, if I expand it now, I need so many units. And then if we have like a parking garage, and now I need more parking garages.
But that's all in the parameters. As you get more units, your parking garage would grow.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But he still needs to search to put those parameters.
Yes. But now you're teaching someone how to read code and plug in those numbers rather than actually designing. Back to what we said earlier.
Yeah.
In school, would teach us how to be real architects.
Yeah.
Rather than designers.
Exactly.
Which,
do you want to biased.
Do you want to do that? Well, I kind of like both ideas.
Yeah.
Because in certain instances, it's like, well, that would be more efficient, and it would cut time in half. But at the same time, it's like, well, now,
but not I don't all get to people design. Think the same.
Yeah.
That's the bad part. Humans just want to be lazy.
Well, yeah, people are gonna get too lazy from it. I don't like my soul doesn't like it, but at the same time, I can see how it could be beneficial. Mm-hmm. But I think people will miss.
But sadly,
I think people would abuse it.
That's what I'm saying. Everything that humans we get that we do, we just
Look, we touch the earth and we destroy it.
Yeah, we don't deserve it.
So I think the Revit users on group on LinkedIn is super like super helpful, and I've been finding a lot of really like the AI conversation and all these posts. I find it from that Revit user group, and so when someone posted, there has been a lot of questions and comments about auto dimensioning for Revit via add-ins, which is they're using Dynamo, right? So Dynamo's is the grasshopper for Revit, basically. And so someone asked, like, what do you think about this workflow? And they have, like, it's flipping through and it's choosing different parameters, like, dimension options, whether it's, so it's a basic L shape with two rooms and four doors and some storefront, right? You choose interior wall dimensions and it'll dimension all the interior wall. Exterior wall rough opening dimensions, it'll dimension all the exterior wall rough openings. Overall exterior wall length and then overall building dimensions. And I'm sure you can create more or different options. And then you can choose what dimension style you use, the reference, so plan, core, interior, and things like that. So this was interesting because I started looking at them and I screenshotted all of them, and two out of the four, I think all four had something wrong, but two of them I was like, maybe that's just me being picky and that's my preference. But two of them that I screenshotted, which was the interior wall dimension and the overall building dimension, I found some things wrong. So this one is dimensioning the core interior wall dimensions, and I'm looking at this, and the first thing that I noticed was, what's getting dimensioned wrong here? So technically, this exterior wall goes in, and it's an interior wall.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, first of all, I think they're dimensioning.
Well, I think this should stop here. There's a wall.
Well, but that's an exterior wall. That's why they're not dimensioning it. Because they're only dimensioning interior wall. Like,
think about it. Like, this one, too, is small. So for us to have big buildings, it's going to be, like, crazy packed.
It's going to be crazy busy. And a lot of people say, like, dimensioning is an art. And, like, you really have to know how it's constructed and how certain things should be getting dimensioned. So this one...
Yeah, because are you really going to look at it after it's dimensioned? Because it's already being dimensioned by someone else, you know, like... automatic, so like you're not gonna look at it because you're like, oh, I just click this and it's gonna dimension it, but like
for me, but how do you know that it's actually getting dimensioned correctly? Okay, so on this interior wall dimension, you know how we said it didn't dimension this exterior wall?
Yeah,
so why are they dimensioning these two exterior walls? Those aren't interior, this 21 feet.
Oh, yeah, they're doing it to the exterior, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't do all the exteriors, it doesn't,
yeah.
It anchors it to this exterior wall, but what you have to do, but it doesn't do it to the other one.
But if you think about it, since right here they didn't dimension this, it's already dimensioned over here. And since they didn't dimension here, then it's already the 21, giving you the 21. It's like giving you but not giving you because they already have it. It's
giving you but not giving you. So for this one, overall building dimensions, I mean... I don't like it. First of all, what I don't like is...
Well, you still need that.
Oh, no, 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 no. What's wrong with that? It's an overall dimension. What's wrong with that dimension string?
It's interior stud.
It's an interior stud. It's supposed to go to the... But look at the other side.
They're exterior studs.
They're exterior.
So it's off.
So one of them is off.
And then they missed this other side because it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Wow.
See, like an over, like you should be getting like the jogs. You should get the overall, like, and I'm sure.
So, like at the end of the day, you still need to go check. You still need to
double check it, and I think I think on like the parameters for Dynamo here, like you can tell it like do every jog, do the overall, make sure it's on the exterior stud. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I just look at it and I see it wrong, and I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, how do you dimension one exterior wall to the exterior stud, but the other exterior walls to the interior stud? It needs to stay consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do outside, outside.
Yeah.
And that's things that the computer is not going to know. And maybe someone who's telling the computer what to do doesn't know either.
Yeah. And then he is all wrong.
Yep. So then, okay, but to play the devil's advocate, rather than having a team of five, right? PM, PA, 2-3 design staff, you can just have two people. The AI does it, and then the intern or design staff reviews it. The AI dimension it all, and all they have to do is review it. Exactly. Rather than and yeah, sure, half of it's wrong, but now you just have to move dimensions around. At least you didn't have to dimension it to begin with.
But you still have to go and check it.
Which is honestly more annoying to me.
Exactly.
I'd rather make sure that it gets done the first time than having to go back and...
But like you said in the beginning, like... understanding how to dimension, this is one of the first things that you should learn starting your career,
especially in multifamily.
Yeah.
Oh, so especially so look at this one.
Yeah, I've seen that.
TestFit Inc. is the beginning of the next generation for AEC, Architecture, Engineering, Construction. It speeds up designers' work efforts by a factor of 1,000, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Enabling firm leadership to work on planning quickly and keeping their firms billable. See, that's what they care about, being billable and getting more jobs. So they did 139 site plans that were solved in TestFit, and exceeding the output of this person's entire professional career in less than a day. The future is here. And everybody's liking it and blah 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 and shalala. And basically they have
master plan.
They have a huge building and there's three courtyards. So it's a courtyard, the parking garage, courtyard, and then courtyard, right? And in between the courtyard is a double-loaded corridor. They simply pull the string up, and those courtyards, everything, the whole building grows north in the courtyards.
And it adds the units or whatever it's adding.
The courtyard splits into two courtyards, and they add units, and maybe some unit shapes change, and the garage obviously changes. And it's like...
Yeah, it grows as you grow units.
Because think of it. Sometimes, this has happened in our office, we have a site, we do a project, and the client's like, oh, by the way, we bought the land next door. We want you to add on. And it's like...
Oh, shit, now I have to redo.
Now I got to do a little bit of design to figure out, take away this mm-hmm. corridor or this side of units.
Or like how it happened with us. Oh, shit, I lost the lot.
I lost the lot.
So and now we need to
make the project smaller.
Well, yes, yeah, because...
But Diana...
we lost the parking garage.
Diana, I lost land. We need to make the project smaller, but Diana, I don't want you to lose units.
Oh.
But Diana, you can't go five floors taller. So in that situation.
This is when you hang yourself.
In that situation.
Yeah, yeah, can use this.
This slider might work.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If, you know, you use it good and like.
You don't abuse it.
You don't abuse it, then I think it'll be great. But knowing humanity,
they're gonna
abuse it.
Yep. And I've always thought about this because, like, you know, smart home devices, and mm-hmm. you clap your hands and lights turn on.
Alexa.
Oh yeah, Alexa. Shalala. Or like, I really like when they blinds. Can, when they can engineer the louvers or shutters or blinds where, you know, as the sun is rotating,
it rotates
with it to, mm-hmm. to block the sun.
Yeah, like that's great because you're actually using it for a purpose smartly. Right.
And that's some engineering or some like mechanical and electrical engineering to go into that.
I agreed.
But then that starts to bring into like parametric design, and then that goes into Grasshopper and Dynamo, and then that goes into AI, and it's like how long it takes for what?
For that to learn, because thanks to that, then now someone learns it and you gotta teach everybody.
Well, now you become more highly valued. So they mm-hmm. say, and I have a post about it, we'll talk about it in another episode, but they say if you know BIM, you're more likely to get paid, you know, 35% more than other people that don't know BIM, which is actually, like, I did the math and it's like, it's a little high, like, that's not really true. 35, I'm just shooting that out there, it's not a real number. But whatever the number was, I did the math, yeah. right, because I wasn't doing BIM.
Come on, this type of actually BIM. 5%.
I wasn't doing this type of BIM previously, but I did the math. I was like, wow, like there is a significant jump between whether or not you know BIM or
not. I mean, it's the same thing as being experienced. If you've been experienced in hospitality, you know, multifamily or whatever,
you'll get compensated more.
Yeah.
But if someone is doing this type of AI, like rather than teaching, you're more valuable because no one else knows it.
But can you imagine, like, you being this person that they hired you to a firm, and then you got to teach the firm how to use it? You're bawling.
Yeah, you are. Well, because you're the only one.
Exactly. Wow.
That's why, like...
And then you take advantage because you're the only one that knows, so you charge extra.
Yup.
And then here we go again.
Yeah.
Back to the loop.
Eight figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, balling. To end it, I saw this on today's top news on LinkedIn. Work BFFs are the best.
Hey.
It's an article by Taylor Borden, an editor at LinkedIn News. So yeah. They say just 3 in 10 workers report having a best friend at work, according to Gallup. If you're one of those 3, you are likely to stay in your job longer and put more effort into it.
Yeah.
You're also likely to have a more positive overall experience on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, ruining retention, saying, bye, guys.
Sorry. I mean, you can cut that off. So,
I was saying that you're also likely to have a more positive overall experience on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, when so many hours are spent working, having someone who understands our situation, the players involved, the office dynamics, ready? and the general organizational culture.
There you go.
Can help buffer routine stress.
Yeah.
Says London Business School professor Lyndon Gretzen.
Honestly, you need your psychologist.
Need your office psychologist.
Yes, and that's your BFF.
That's your BFF. This writer says that, you know, the best way to establish friendships at work is to start sharing more. Meanwhile, Gallup found that managers can encourage workplace friendships by establishing a buddy system and sponsoring face-to-face social interactions.
Yep. So if you don't have a best friend right now at work, make one.
Make one, or you ain't gonna last.
Yep. It's true, though.
This is gonna be you at work. For 2 years.
Retention.
Your retention ain't gonna hold at work, nope. I'll tell you that.
See you later.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another week's episode of Architecture Podcast. I already know you all already signed off and went to another podcast to listen to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once we say bye, your attention goes out the roof. See ya.
Have a good weekend.
Or not.
Or just be like.
Or not.
Bye.
Thank you guys.
And adios.
We will see you next time.
Hasta la vista, baby.